I want to share with you this message this morning. The title, Responsibility of a Godly Father. Let us pray. Dear Lord our God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you give us opportunity to listen to your word. And as well, we pray and ask you to send your Holy Spirit to abide with us as we worship you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Bobby Richardson is a former player of New York Yankee. And he's played very high in his high of career, and he's at the age of 30, and he wanted to be retired, okay? And he just wanted to step off the field, and we want to go back home, spend time with his family. But he was invited into the office, and there's a man by the name of Dale Webb, and he's Yankee co-owner. And he put down on the table a blank contract. He pushed a blank contract to Bobby Richardson and asked him, just fill it in. How many years you want to play with us, with Yankee? How much money? What the salary you want? Just put it down. How do you like that? You don't want someone to give you a blank contract? You can put any amount in? Wow, that's an open door for him. He can be rich and famous. But instead of that, he pushed this contract back to Dale Webb to say, no, I already filled out my blank contract already. The blank contract that I already filled out, that I plan to spend time with my wife and want to spend time with my children. Amazing. My friends, there are some people still live on this earth that they denial of something biggest in their life. All the money in the world, all the title you can get, but he decided to spend time with his family. How about you and I? Those are parents, are you spend time with your family? Those are our children, do you take time to spend time with your parents? And this is where today we come together to learn the word of God, to understand what is meant for us to be spent time with family. It's take a moment to become a father. You know, when I see my child coming to this world, it's just only take a moment to become a father, right? But take a lifetime to be a father. Is that right? Take a lifetime to be a father. And so we need to understand what is our responsibility. Now, when parents have children, doesn't mean you let the world mold your children. And when you born into a family, you don't just do anything you want to. There's something, the responsibility that you have to work. So you and I, please turn with me into the book of 1 Samuel. Continue with the story. And now we study to see three lessons from this story. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11 through 14. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 3, I'm sorry. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11 through 14. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone will hear with tingle. When the Lord says something, listen, it will shock you. What do? Are you listening? Are you listening? And when something is coming, about to come, and will shoot out from the Lord's mouth, you gotta listen. Something is so important. Verse 12. In that day, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And that very day that God can prophesy something happened in the house of Israel. You know, Eli is a prophet of God. Okay? He had been a judge for the last 40 years. He is a tail end of all the judges in the book, in the Bible. And he have two sons to do all the sacrament in the sanctuary. And their name is Hophni and Phinehas. Both of them worked with his fathers since they were young. But what happened to this the Lord's house? And that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end, to this very home. For I have told him, God have told Eli that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity, this means sin, which he knows. Who knows? Eli knows his sin because his son make themselves vile and he did not restrain them. What sin of his house? What is the sin of Eli's home? Is his son commits sin and he did not restrain him. That's what happened. Now, this is not an ordinary sin in the family. This is a sin happened in the sanctuary. This is a sin happened in the church. That's what happened. Hophni and Phinehas, they will commit sexual sin in front of the church doorstep. The sin that they took God's sanctuary, God's offering, and only reserved for God, and they took away for themselves. Just like, if I can put in today's application, the two sons go around, collect offering, and they put their hand in the offering plate and took it out for themselves. They took that money belonged to God. They took what have holy belonged to God. And they commit sexual sin in front of the doorstep. Tuesday. That's what happened. And Eli know about it. And what did he do? He didn't do anything about it. Go back with the text here. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 16. Verse 14. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. That means all your sin, right? You've come to the sanctuary and you can offer to God and the priest will intercess for you. And your sin can be blotted out. But God says to the Eli's home that your sin will not atone for either by sacrifice or offering. You cannot do anything any longer. That was bad. Now, what if that God say that to your home and to your church? That your sin is can no longer to forgive. That's a scary. Now, I don't want to hear God's voice then say to my home, your sin goes so far that there's no way to return. Now, in other words, this sin has been going on a long time. It's not just only a few days, maybe for years. And God instruct them, you got to stop what you're doing. You have make my sanctuary become a wicked place. And so what three things that I want you and I will learn about? Number one is inconsistency. What I mean by that, look with me in the book here. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35. Inconsistency. What happened to Eli? Why I consider he inconsistent? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35. That I will raise up for myself a faithful priest. Now, God spoke to Eli here, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest. That indicates Eli is not faithful priest. He's unfaithful to God. Who shall do according to what the Lord was saying? And so, in other words, how can Eli be unfaithful? Now, he'd been in a ministry for 40 years. I'm sure he started off, everything's good, great. But at the end of his life, God considered him unfaithful. My friend, when you first accept Jesus Christ, you will follow exactly everything from the Bible. Whatever the Lord said, I will follow. And as time goes by, you're going to slip it away. Say, you know what? Yeah, I know the tithe is important. I've been doing that. But you know what? The Lord understands when there's a need, I need to take some up for myself. Or maybe when I first come to the Lord, I will live my life exactly what the Lord said. Stay away from unclean food. But now, you know, I kind of miss some of that unclean food when I see my friend, you know, eat those food and hold up in the a cup of wine. I start to feel like it's okay to mingle a little bit. But what happened? Eli was unfaithful. He was faithful at the beginning, but as time go by, he was boastful. He think, that's fine. I can do a little bit. It'd be fine. After all, I'm a prophet. After all, I'm a prophet. After all, I know God more than you. God should count me as righteous. But God said to Eli, say, I need to find someone better than you. You have walked away from me. You have let your children walk away from me. I'm going to find someone who are faithful to me. My friend, and I'm telling you, when you come to serve God, either in ministry or in the leadership of the church or leadership in your community, you want to hear, you don't want to hear someone say to you, you know what? I need to find someone who's loyal and faithful. When you hear that, it seems like something just, I mean, just a knife just go through your heart. It's like, oh, it must hurt. You mean, what do you mean? I have not faithful to you, God? That's what happened. Now, you and I would say that why the sins of the children of Eli, and here God punished the whole house. Now, some of you say, well, that's unfair. If my brother sinned or my sister sinned, do I get punished too? No, the Bible says, whoever sinned, that person would pay for it. But why God punished Eli's home? There's something about inside the home and you and I need to learn about. Okay, let's look into verse 22. What happened? 22 of 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. Now Eli was very old. He'd been in 40-year ministry. He heard everything of his sons. Did to all Israel, and how they lay with women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. He have heard the sin of his children. That means he have not known his children very well, right? He didn't know about it. He come home and heard someone out on the street tell, you know what your son did today? He said, I didn't know about it. And sometimes he don't know about it. He's too busy. He may not even care about it. Sometimes we don't spend enough time in the family to know what's going on. Do you know what your brother's doing? Do you know what your children doing inside the home? Verse 23. So he said to them, Why do you do such thing? You know, he says to you, why do you do such thing? For I heard that you're evil dealing from all the people. Everyone said bad about you. Now, when someone says bad about your children, do you pay attention? Or you say, you know what? You guys are biased. You say negative to my children. I'm going to protect my children. Right? Is that what you're going to do it? But all the people of Israel say negative. And sometimes parents, you know, try to protect your children. Even though they did bad things, you say, okay, don't do that anymore. No, we need to understand what sin did your children commit. What sin did your brother and sister commit, my friend? Don't overlook it. Okay? So verse 25, I jump to verse 25. If one man sinned against another, God will judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who will intercede for him? You understand that text? It's so important. No, if you and the church sin together, I will intercede for you. But if I sin against the Lord, who are intercede for me? There's a priest intercede for me. There's a high priest that step in and try to solve the problem. No. That means when you sin against God, there's no way to return. That's what happened to Eli's children. They did not listen to the father. So, you know, I can imagine an old man tried to teach the children. And she said, "Oh, Dad, you're getting old. What do you know about church? What do you know about theology? What do we do right? We do for years now. We have been a priest for years. You telling me I'm doing something wrong? Man, this is teaching me a lesson right here as a pastor. I mean, I've been in seminary for 3 years and pastor for 18 years, and you say I got my theology wrong?" That's what happened. They are so boastful. They think they are number one among the Israelites. But God said, "You have been doing wrong." Why is that? Because Eli is inconsistent. He knows it's wrong, but he didn't punish him. He knows something is wrong, but he didn't go away and try to correct his children. And so the parent, the inconsistent, not so sure how should we correct our children, because we love our children so much. You know, a lot of times parents love the children so much, then just let go of some of the small things. Watch out. We think small, but as time goes by, getting bigger and bigger. At first time, you know, Hophnia and Phinehas, you take a small piece of meat of the offering from the Lord's table. Just small piece. And people say, "Oh, it's okay, just a small. What's the big deal?" As the time goes by, he takes more and more, and he starts stealing from the Lord's table. The first sin, maybe they slept with someone secretly in a certain home. But as the time goes by, they don't care what the Lord says. They're going to sleep with women in front of the church. Don't think small sin. It doesn't make any meaning. It will gradually get bigger and bigger, and you not listen to anyone, including the Lord. Now, Eli knows that very well, but he inconsistent. That's what the children don't take serious. Go with me in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verse 14, talking about Lot's family. As Lot pitches tent toward Sodom, as the years go by, he moved right into Sodom. Okay? And his children decided to marry heathen. And as his family are soaked in with all the idol worship, and he's been affected by it as well, and there's one day, Sodom is so bad that God have to send fire from heaven to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. But God still remember Lot because someone intercede for him. Who is it? Abraham. My friend, you should be happy someone intercede for you. I need someone intercede for me. Please, you intercede for me for the Lord. I need help. Abraham intercede, God, please save my nephew. And here it is, the two angels come to the city and give warning to Lot, say, tonight this city will be destroyed. Do you have anyone in the city you want to pull out? Do it now. Go with me in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verse 14. So Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-law, who had married his daughter, and said, "Get up, get out this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." He said, "Get out now, very minute, because the Lord will destroy this city." That means you don't have time to bring all your idol with you. You don't have time to bring all your possession with you. You don't have time to take down your degree with you to take with you. No. Get out now, very minute. Now, did they go? Did they get out? No. What happened? Why? But to his son-in-law, he seemed to be joking. That's me thinking, "Oh man, this old man is a joke. I mean, Lord, you know, he's a joke. I mean, he never serious about the spiritual thing. And here he said, get out now. He must be a joke." That's mean inconsistent. That's mean there's time that Lord is not serious about the spiritual thing. And now he's serious, but his son-in-law and his children thing is a joke. Now, are you inconsistent? What do you say? You learn one thing, you say one thing, and you walk a different way. You say that we need to read the Bible, preach about it, but you don't read it. You say that we need to pray, but you don't pray about it. You say that everyone needs to stay out of, don't touch unclean food, and you secretly and touch it. That's where, when a parent is inconsistent, the children to see that it's a joke. Come on, Dad. Come on, Mom. You didn't do it. I don't believe you. That's what happened. The prophet Eli, he said one thing and he don't mean it. He don't teach his children because he's so inconsistent, so his children think it's a joke. My friend, we have to lay down what we say, we have to live by. And if we not, we have to pray about it. You can go to your children and say, you know, yes, Dad have said that, but I didn't follow. Please pray for me. You children understand? Stick with it. Because when you linger, when you are inconsistent, your children at the end time, same thing. You know, well, church is one thing, Sabbath day is church, but all the 6 day is with the Word. Because if Dad with the Word, I'm with the Word too. And so that's where I'm important. We need to teach the children, follow our footsteps. We have to walk in the right path. Turn with me quickly in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 11. Proverbs 4, verse 11. When you teach your children, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. What do you mean the right path? You know, I live in the snow country in Michigan, and when the snow go up like a waist high, like a 3 feet high, I have to really step into snow, one step at a time, and really hard. And a kid follow me, step exactly on the footstep I did. So easy. That's what it is. When you put on the big step, leading your children the right step, they will step where you step. But you have to make that first step. Turn with me another book of Paul. Paul teaching something very important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. So affectionately longing for you. This is Paul trying to write a letter to Thessalonian church here. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own life, because you have become dear to us. That means they live what he preached. Paul continues to say, for you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for labor night and day, that we might not be burdened any to you, we preach to you the gospel of God. Paul go around preach the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how we devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behave ourselves among you who believe. That's me. Paul trying to say, I preach and I live by it, and you don't see any sin in me. That's what Paul trying to say. I will walk where I preach. Now that's what happened as parents. We need to do the same. And God have mercy on us if we have not doing that. May God bless each one of us to follow his footstep. And we need to be frank to our children that we need to be consistent to the Word of God. Point number two is Eli's fault is imbalance. He didn't balance his home life and his ministry's life. He's so busy, like a circuit preacher, you know, go around different tribes and preach. A man of God, everyone excited to see him. He lived for 40 years to be a preacher. He judged the country. But at home, he had two little rascals. And he didn't know about it. He just come home and say, how you doing, kid? I'm doing fine, Dad. Okay, bye-bye. I'm going to preach in another church. He didn't know anything about it until he heard about it. Until someone picked up a phone call. Eli, your son did something. You better come home right now. I'm busy with the Lord's work. Sometimes we're so busy with the church work here to our leader, and we forgot about our home life. We're so busy that we think it's fine. Do you know, 1 Timothy chapter 3 say that in order to be a good leader in the church, you have to be a good leader at home. If you cannot control your home, you cannot control the church. All society based on the nucleus family of a home. If the home is doing well, the whole society will be doing well. So that's where the important of God wants to put in. So we need to keep in touch with the children, with the family. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 20, he says, he heard, he didn't see, he didn't witness, he just didn't spend time. So the question, do we spend time with our children? Do you spend time in the family? Do you know who your children hang out with? Do your parents know who you hang out with? Yeah? Do they know what music you listen to? Do you know what book you're reading? What movie you watch? What internet website you go to? Do the parent know? See, if the parent didn't know, you let your children go the way of how the culture dictated. See, he didn't keep balance in his family. No. You need to set limit because the soul of your children is most important than anything else. Research shows us that father only spent 8 minutes a day. Is that right? 8 minutes a day? Only 8 minutes a day? That's it? I thought I spent more. You know, maybe you sit down at a dinner table. That's not count. Or you watch a movie with them. It's not count. Or go out and play kickball with them. It's not count. Do you spend 8 minutes or more one-on-one, have a serious talk? Serious talk. Hey, I know you go with someone, and I'm concerning. Do you talk about that? Hey, you know the music you listen to, I find some word that's not very Christian-like. Do you talk about that? Sometimes with children say, come on, Dad, you're old school. I mean, you don't like rap music? I mean, New Age music, you don't like all that? It's not the music, but the word. I remember when I was young, I took the bus home from school. Every single afternoon at 2:30, I'm tired after all day of school and sit and relax. And I heard the same music going on every single day. I don't know why the bus driver turned on the same station and turned on Tammy music. Burn down the house, burn down the house, burn down the house, burn down the house. I heard that and it's still in my mind today. And you heard that in the music? And when the kids started to pick up a light, you know, a fire, they enjoy the burning something. And I was shocked to me. I'm trying to burn something. God used music to give him praise. And the devil used that same music to twist it around. Music, television, internet, books, magazines, same thing. Oh, I heard some parents say, you know, book is good. As long as my children read, I'm happy because they learn English. The next thing they read the whole series of the book, Harry Potter. Those books should be burned. I'm sorry I have to say that. Those books need to be burned. It is not supposed to be for reading. We teach all sorcery, all that, all the magician, all that magic that the Bible says, do not read this material. Today, children love to read all those fiction stories. I wanted to my children to read those nonfiction, read the Bible story, read missionary story, all that. Something benefit for their life. I don't know why today school is to teach you all those nonsense. My friend, parents are responsible to choose right book for them to read. If the book is not to be read, go direct to the school and make a riot about it. That's wrong. If we're a Christian family, we need to read Christian books. And so this is what we see. We need to spend enough time to know where our children spend their time. Five lessons someone wrote about this, and it's important to learn. Number one, learn to go home principle. It's time to go home. Home is a home. Nothing, no place like home. If parents don't think home is a home, the children won't see that as home either. Right? You don't eat breakfast together, you don't eat lunch together, and you don't want to eat dinner together. I want to hang out with my friend. Because there's no fun thing at home to go home to. Make a home is a place that they enjoy to come home. Okay, number two is watch out job promotion. Now, this is interesting. Job promotion. People get promoted. And guess what? They have spent less time to spend time with the family. This job promotion, earn more money, more high position, and it's take away from your family. If you answer that question, yes, it take my family, then you should decline. Not every job promotion that you need to take. Point number three, keep holiday and holy day. When it's holiday, take time off. Spend time with the family. Like vacation time. Number four, refuse someone to set your agenda. You set your own agenda. You know, some people come to, Pastor, you know, I feel like you missed something right here. I want to help you to set your own agenda. You need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that. I think that's complete. My friend, you have your own agenda. The most, first and foremost agenda, you have to spend time with your family, spend time with God. Once you spend time with family and spend time with God, everything will go smooth. I'm going to share with you from a pastor point of view. When someone say, you know, the PK pastor kid, hey, you know, pastor kid like this and like that, man, it's hurt me. Because when they say pastor kid like that, that's mean your preaching no longer valid. If you cannot tell your children what to do, who are you to tell me what to do? You see? How can you say you'll be a leader of the church when you cannot lead your children and your family? That's what has happened. We need to be balanced. Number five, do not try to store family time. That means, you know, son, I cannot spend time with you. I owe you 5 minutes. Next day, week, I owe you another 10 minutes. You know what? I make up to you. By the end of the year, we're going to take a road vacation together. Do not store those family time to your vacation. Every single day, a little bit is better together one time. So those are a few tips that I learned. I hope you can take that and apply as well. So with Eli's family, that's what happened. He was so imbalanced. He don't spend time. He don't know what's wrong with his children. He don't know how to lead his children. And when his children go so far that God said there's no point of return. That's why God has to destroy. Point number three. Another thing that we need to learn is indifferent. Is Eli indifferent? Some of these are overlap, but bear with me here. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows. Eli knows the sin of his son. Because his son make themselves vile, something wicked, and he did not restrain them. He did not bind them up. He said, you know what, son, you do one more time, I chop off your hand. I'm sure that scared the heck out of the kid. But he didn't say anything. He did not tie him up. He didn't take him away. You cannot be a priest anymore because if you continue to do that. He did not restrain. He loved his children more than he loved God. Another text you'll find out. He loved his children more than he loved God. This is very important here. When our children did something that we know is not good, and I give you very personal that you can relate it to, and I don't mean to make you feel hard feeling, but when your children say, you know what, Mom and Dad, I can't go to church today. I have a soccer practice. I cannot go to church today because I want to hang out with my friend. What did you do? He said, oh, I understand. And the parents go to church by themselves, and the children go to soccer practice by themselves. And when the match comes, he said, Dad, on Sabbath day, there's going to be a match, and this is going to be a last match, and I want you to be there. And Dad said, what day? On Sabbath. And the son may say, don't you know about the psychology? If you don't go to the match, that means I don't feel good, and I won't play well. You know, all that guilt feeling. And the parent starts to sway away with the children. Guess what? You just commit sin. You love God, your children, more than you love God. You should discipline them. You know what, son? You cannot play on Sabbath day. You see, because you are, well, you are indifferent. You're not so sure which way is right and wrong. That's why your children will take advantage on that ground. You got to set limit. You see, this is the day we go to church and nowhere else. For example, I give you a very quick example too. When you go to, vacation, and you say, you know, we're on vacation. And you can, Sabbath is Sabbath. By the way, you cannot say we're on vacation, there's no Sabbath. And so there's a church everywhere, by the way. I don't care you going to Vietnam or going to a jungle, there's a church. Okay? You cannot say, you know what? A vacation, we don't have to go to church. That's indifferent. Because your children say, well, you didn't respect Sabbath day. Dad, mom, hello. Well, I won't respect either. You see, that's where we have to be sure what we believe. And so the Bible says that if you don't restrain them, the Bible says to Eli, if you don't restrain your children, who will restrain them? God will restrain them. God, do not let the sanctuary would fill with iniquity. And God have said that in the same day your two sons will die. In chapter 4, the prophecy had come true. That's what happened. And today, we're that a lot of time, we don't take time to teach our children, restrain them, to say, this one is wicked way, do not do it. A lot of times we say this country is that we cannot apply, you know, rot to their disbehavior. Billy Graham said this, we must not afraid to apply the board of education to the seat of learning. You want to hear that? We must not afraid to apply the board of education to the seat of learning. That means use a rod if you need to. Use a rod if you need to. Matter of fact, I witnessed one family in Indiana. And his son did something so bad that he considered to use a rod. And the boy called the police. The police came and said, did you hit your son like this? He said, yes. And they are about to take him to jail. And I said, and he said this. He said, if you don't let me to teach my children, they will go out and kill someone who will be responsible. After the police say, okay, I understand. You see? The policemen don't take time to teach your children. The school don't take time to teach your children. And here the parent need to take time to teach your children. If you can write this down, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Use a rod in the right way to teach them to obey. I have to turn this text. This text is so important. And it shocked me when I read this text. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. What does the Bible say? Foolishness, evil thing is in the heart of who? Of the children. When they grow up, they want. They want everything. And they did evil thing, and the parent didn't say anything. Foolishness, wicked thing, they bind up the heart of the children. But the rod of correction will drive it far from him. If you don't teach them, If you don't give them a spank to push the wicked way out of him, he will live a sinful way. Is that right? We need to teach the children. We need to teach them because they're born with foolishness. And if we don't teach them, God will teach them a hard way. A lot of times we say, why our children grow up like this? I go to church. I do everything possible. Look back. There's some time we don't apply our rod into a home. I can know very well children. I grew up in children. When my parents put a rod on the table, I know what does it mean. That's it. Stop talking and start studying. Don't say, you cannot say another no. We need to discipline everyone, especially children, needs to discipline. When they are young, it's much easier to mold them. When they get older, it's very hard to mold. When you teach the lion cub, a trick is easy. When they've grown a big lion, it's impossible. So those children are here, listen to me. If your parent molding you, you're glad that you have a godly parent teaching you. Because a lot of children that you are hanging out with, their parent don't care, don't have time, don't use the word of God to teach them. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. Just write that down. Basically, this text is trying to say, discipline them as an early age and help them to grow up to be a godly person. Nothing is greater at the end of your life to see your children to be saved. Honestly, I believe Eli is very sad on the day that God killed his two sons. He know God is right. But he feels sad because he did not do all what he can. And the same day, Eli also died as well. The sin of the children, and if you don't train them, teach them, you will be punished as well. There's a limit. There's a limit how far the children could go. And there's a time you have to come back. How many people have been to Niagara Falls? Have you been in? It's only one? Really? Next year, I'm going to take a trip, go there. So if those who want, we go there. When I go to Niagara Falls, I love it. The beautiful, amazing how big it is. I walk on the trail just next to it. Amazing. I can see millions of tons of waters coming down. It's so beautiful. But when I read the story about this, far away when the stream is coming to the fall, they have a sign say, all the sailboat turn back. The signs say that do not go past this point. When you go past this point, the current will suck you in and kill you, make you go to the fall and just drop. Say, turn back. Turn back. Same thing with children. When you see your children go too far, you say, it's time to turn back. When you cross a point, there's no way to go return. God has said, you teach your children, it's time to go back because you do everything possible to save your children. You do everything possible to save your family. Eternal life is more important than temporal life. You know it very well. Your children can gain all the money in the world, all the education they can, but they don't have eternal life, they will lose everything. May God teach each one of us to understand the lesson today. And I hope this story of 1 Samuel chapter 2 to 4, the story of Eli, is a lesson for all of you parents. And also all the children to see how Hophni and Phinehas have committed against the Lord. Shall we learn from this lesson and come back to God? Would you want to come back to God?
A lot of things sometimes we did wrong. I say, Lord, I have sinned against you. Don't take me away. Don't cut me off. I want to come back to you. I want to come back to you. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, our God, it's so sad story that we witnessed today. But it's so important story that we need to learn. That we need to be balanced in our family. Need to be consistent to the Word of God. And needing to for sure what we believe. So our children to walk on the same footsteps. I pray for all the parents who sometimes lack of time of discipline to the children, including me. Help us to see this important example to make it haste, to make sure that we go home and discipline our children, because most important to see they're safe in the kingdom of God. And for all the people who are still young, still live in the home and children, listen to our parent and obey our parent as they go to according to the Word of God, that we will live to according to your will, that not only our family to be saved, but all the people that we come in contact with, they will learn the truth as well. They will be saved also. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.